This morning to the book of Psalms, the 18th chapter, Psalm 18. The hymn book for the nation of Israel. Much of the result of these are the pen of David the king, the psalmist, the shepherd boy, the king of the nation of Israel. Something interesting about Psalm 18. Most of your psalms will have some type of identification. Psalm 18 will not only have an identification, but it will have an introduction. It's a little paragraph of introduction to Psalm 18. I'm going to read that along with the 50 verses. You say, you're going to preach all of that today? Sure, I may enjoy have all the time in the world. But I want you to just be comfortable, and I want to read this entire psalm to get the context of where we're going to be, and I'm not going to go verse by verse, by the way. Psalm 18, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. Let me stop real quick. Did I read that right or did I misread a word? I must have not misread a word. I thought I read strength in the wrong spot. That aggravates me to no end that I would misread something. So, okay. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly, yea, did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place, his pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them, and he shot out lightnings and discomfited them. Then the channels of waters were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils. He sent from above, he took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also upright before him, and I kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight. With the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful. With an upright man thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure thou wilt show thyself pure, and with the froward, thou wilt show thyself froward. For thou wilt save the afflicted people, but wilt bring down high looks. For thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. I have pursued mine enemies and overtaken them, neither did I turn again till they were consumed. I have wounded them that were not able to rise, they are fallen under my feet. For thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle. Thou hast subdued under me those that rose up against me. Thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. They cried, but there was none to save them, even unto the Lord, but he answered them not. Then did I beat them small as the dust before the wind. I did cast them out as the dirt in the streets. Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people, and thou hast made me the head of the heathen. A people whom I have not known shall serve me. As soon as they hear of me, they shall obey me. The strangers shall submit themselves unto me. The strangers shall fade away and be afraid out of their close places. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock. And let the God of my salvation be exalted. It is God that avengeth me and subdueth the people under me. He delivereth me from mine enemies, yea, thou liftest me up above those that rise up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. Great deliverance giveth he to his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, to David, and to his seed forevermore. We could stop right there And that could be it, that we could be done. We're not, but we could. The reading and the hearing of the sacred text of the Word of God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we have read this great psalm that rejoices in victory, your victory, with your servant over the enemy. And the testimony of praise, and the testimony of worship, and the testimony of joy, the testimony of thanksgiving that David had because of your deliverance. What great truths we find in these 50 verses. And we thank you for what David has left us under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that we might be encouraged by this great passage. Now help us this morning. Lord, help me. Give us ears to hear, a mind to comprehend, and a heart to receive. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. As I read that, my mind's eye paints a picture. And I'm visualizing, I'm seeing some of the things as David describes them. One of my favorite passages is this, but in verse 6, he said, I cried unto God. I lifted my voice because I was in distress. And it's not the humble prayer at the table. It's not the prayer at the close of the day, now I lay me down to sleep. It's a voice of wailing, begging God, and it says, then the earth shook and trembled. There went up smoke out of his nostrils. He bowed the heavens also. He rode upon a cherub and did fly. Verse 13, the Lord thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice. What's happening? David prayed and God answered. And there were enemies that David experienced in his lifetime. Always would be the Philistine people. They would always be the enemies of God's people. Is it any surprise? Did anybody see the news headline and was shocked that Turkey has stood up and spoke out against Israel. Is anybody shocked by that? Duh. Every Muslim nation and every Muslim follower is against Israel. That's why it's such a sad thing when we've got some in our own legislature that speak up in favor of Hamas and against Israel. David was one of the covenant people of God crying out over his enemies, whether it was the Philistines or whether it was Saul. Saul was one of his own, one of the Israelites, the king. And David had been selected to replace him, and Saul tried to kill him multiple times. And so David not only ran from the Philistines, one time he ran to them, but he's running from Saul. Finally, he gets tired. He finally gets weary. Finally gets overwhelmed by the enemies that surround him, that were after him, to take his life. And he cries to God, and God answers in a powerful way. And his description of what God did is found in this wonderful psalm. And I started out with one verse that I was going to speak on this morning. And I said, no, I've got to read the whole psalm because I want to give the context, because the verse is right in the middle. Not exactly, but pretty close. The verse is verse 30. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in Him. He said, this is what God enabled me to do. This is what God has done for me. This is how He has delivered me, and I am worshiping and praising Him. And in the middle of that, he made these statements of verse 30 that I want to challenge you with. As for God, His way is perfect. God's way is perfect. And oftentimes we use the word perfect as we look in the Scripture, and noting the context, we understand that it's talking about being mature and upright. You know, if we say somebody is perfect, that they have reached a level of some kind of security, a maturity, that they are upright in their character. Well, of course, God is upright in His character. But I believe David is using this in a different way. His way is perfect, which means it is unblemished, means that there's nothing wrong with it. You know, God's way, sad to say, from our human perspective, is not always our way. And when it's all said and done, aren't you glad? Somebody say amen right there. Been many times I've got a solution all figured out. I've got a manner in which to resolve whatever I might be dealing with. And I say, dear Lord, would you bless this? And He says, you've already got it all figured out. And then it doesn't happen that way. I say, well, Lord, that was very difficult. That was a challenge. That was hard. And then I look back on it and say, it was better that way anyway. Why? Because God's way is perfect. The path that God places His children upon and that He directs them to walk is, if we follow it, it's a perfect way. No blemishes. Oh, there's going to be some stumbling blocks. Oh, there's going to be some twists and turns. It's not always going to be rosy and happy and smooth sailing, but His way is going to be perfect. David would later write the 23rd Psalm. We figure that to be maybe at close to the end of his administration, maybe the latter years of his life, maybe not. But after he's escaped from the Philistines and escaped from Saul and the others who did him harm, he writes Psalm 18, but he would write Psalm 23. He leadeth me. He leadeth me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Dear God, the way that You're leading is perfect. As for God, I wrote down at the top of my Bible over this chapter, when God shows up. When God shows up. In my distress, I called upon the Lord, and He heard my voice. We're like that sometimes. Has your distress ever brought you to the place where you cry out to God? I'm not talking about, dear Lord, would You send the food that we need next month, or Would you send enough money to pay the light bill this month? You know, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when the phone rings and somebody delivers you some news that you never wanted to hear. And you hang the phone up and you fall down on your face and say, "Oh God." But you don't say it like that. You ever been like that? Been many a time I've gone to the front of a darkened church as a pastor and got on the front pew or the front altar. There's nobody else there, just me and God. And I've got on my face and I said, "Oh God!" You ever pray like that? Well, that's what David's talking about. And when he prayed like that, God showed up. Yeah, but if God's way was perfect, then he would never have gone through that. Who said? Remember Jesus calling his 12 disciples and says, "Let's get into this boat and cross to the other side of the sea." And what happened in the middle of the sea? A storm came. Oh no! "Master, cast out not that we perish. We're going to die." God says, I put you in this boat so I can get you through to the other side. Oh, ye of little faith. No, God brings us to these certain places, but you can be sure of this. God's way is perfect. Does that mean I'll understand it? No. I didn't say you'd understand it. I didn't say I'd understand it. Well, give me an answer, preacher. Sometimes there ain't one. I used to talk to a preacher friend of mine. I can't talk to him anymore because he's in heaven. And we discuss spiritual things. We talk about sermons and we talk about ministry and things. And he said, "You know, sometimes we question God." I said, "But we can never question why." He said, "Why not?" I said, "Well, we can't question why. We can't doubt God." He said, No. "You're not doubting God if you're questioning why, in order that you might learn something from it. Now, if you're questioning from a perspective of doubt or disbelief, you say, 'Why, God, did you let this happen? Because this is wrong and you're wrong.'" He said, "Yeah, that's a problem." He said, "But to question why so that you might learn from what you're going through?" Some of the darkest things that I've gone through in my life have brought about some great spiritual benefit. I've learned something from them. I would never have learned it if God had led me to avoid that particular problem. His way is perfect. You can be sure of that. But in your text, the Bible says the word of the Lord is tried. And I just say it like this: the word of the Lord is proven. Proven. The word try means to be put to the test. It means to be put to the test and found of benefit and of profit. In the previous page of Psalm 12, verse 6 and 7 says this: "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." You know who's responsible for keeping this book? God is. Now, He's used the hands of men to do certain things, but God is responsible to have preserved His book, because it says so. "But the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times." I wonder why I didn't say six. Why didn't he say twice? I mean, if you purify something twice, that's pretty good. If you do it three times, that's probably as good as it gets. I don't know what metallurgists use today. I don't know what to bring about the perfect category or grade of a precious metal, gold or silver. I don't know how many times they purify. Why didn't he just say two or three or four times? Why did he say seven? Because seven's God's number of perfection. Purified seven times. This book is a product of God that is perfect and is pure. It's been put to the test. It's been tried. It's been tested. And it's found to be completely sufficient. The word of the Lord is tried. You can test this book. You know, there are a lot of things today. Put them to the test. You know, discernment comes from evaluating in things, and you know, a fool answereth the matter before he heareth it. You know, when something is said, don't accept it just because you saw it on television. Or just because you saw it on Facebook. Or, you know, what's the source that you heard it from? What's the source that you saw it from? Don't be afraid to test it. Don't be afraid to put it to the test. And politically, socially, spiritually, don't be afraid to put this Bible to the test. Now, what's the problem is a lot of times you put something in this world to the test and it's not going to pass. You can be sure of this. You put the Bible to the test, it will pass. It will always pass. The Word of the Lord is tried. There's a couple of other places I wanted to mention. Let me see. I had this trouble this morning. Every time I turned to something, it didn't turn where I wanted. I'm going to find it eventually. Don't bother turning. Psalm 119, 140. Thy word is very pure. Therefore thy servant loveth it. And then Proverbs. Now we were in Proverbs for Sunday school this morning. And this is, I read this one. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Add thou not unto His words, lest He have reproved thee, and thou be found a liar. Pure, pure, pure. How can it be pure when it's put to the test, when it is tried, when it goes through the fire? The word try is the same thing of putting something through the fire to purify it. The word of the Lord is proven, tried, tested, and found completely sufficient. The Bible is a solution and an answer to that which we deal with on a daily basis. We went through the book of Proverbs this morning in Sunday school. It's just a book of spiritual wisdom with practical application. I mean, day-to-day living, day-to-day circumstances, things of life, and yet spiritually imparted to us, and yet something that we can use on a daily basis. You say, well, you know, the Bible has all these great spiritual truths. That's for when you go to church, and that's for when you go to Sunday school, and that's when... No, that's for everyday living. The Bible is for everyday living. That's why you ought to be in it every day. And David said, His way is perfect, His word is tried, and it's proven. But not only that, on that last part of verse 30, He is a buckler to all those that trust in Him. His watch over us is protective. His watch over us is protective. Let me see. Psalm 28, verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in Him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise Him. The Lord is my strength and my shield. His watch over us is protective. It says He's a buckler. You say, what's that? It's a small shield. It's what a soldier, typically it was round, it's what a soldier would put his hand through and hold to grip with one handle, and the other one would his arm would be through the other one. That way, wherever he put his arm, that's where the buckler would be. You know, he could use that in hand-to-hand combat. But that's what a buckler is. It is a shield. And yet, when you read in verse 2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. God, His watch over us is protective. Now, sometimes He allows us to go through it, but He always protects us. Let me see here. Psalm 91:4, He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. See, that's two different types of shields. One is larger than the other. But His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. And let's see, I've got another one here. Blessed be the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight, my goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield, and He whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me, which is David talking about what he said in Psalm 18. My deliverer, my shield. His watch over us is protective. You know, in the book of Ephesians, we are told to put on the whole armor of God, one article of which is the shield of faith. We shall be able to do what? Quench the fiery darts of the wicked. And then, let's see. I won't read all of this, but in verses 7 through 14, God's warfare is powerful. When God responds, no enemy can stand. The description that he gives that I read previously and the might that was demonstrated and the power, the thunder, his arrows, everything that take place, it just shows a God of omnipotence who has, because he has all power can overcome any enemy. His warfare is powerful. Verse 34, he teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of salvation. That's what we just read in Psalm 144. In Paul's letter to Timothy, he said, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Why? Because there's going to be some battles to be fought. We are in a war campaign, and there is an enemy. And right now, it kind of looks like he's winning. You know, as it kind of looks like that. But when God shows up, he's not going to win. The problem with today is God's letting man take over everything, and we've made a mess of it. As man always does, amen. Made a mess of it in creation, didn't we? After Noah's day, after the entire world was destroyed by flood, we made a mess of it again, didn't we? Go on, nod your heads and say amen. You know it to be true. We gained victory in World War I and World War II. What's happened? We've made a mess of things. And yet, God's warfare is powerful when He steps in. We've already read the last chapters of the book. I know who wins. And the devil, the Antichrist, the beast, the false prophet, all of his followers, they're going to be cast in the lake of fire. God wins. And if you're saved, you win. You're on the winning side because God's warfare is powerful. And lastly, God's work is to be praised. Verse 3, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. I'll call to God because He's praiseworthy. When I call upon Him, I'll be saved from mine enemies. Verse 49, therefore will I give thanks unto Thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto Thy name. Among the heathen? Why would we give thanks among the heathen so they know? Tell the lost people what God's done for you. Might reach their heart. Verse 50 says, great deliverance giveth He to the king, and showeth mercy to His anointed, to David, to His seed forevermore. Because God's work is to be praised. This entire psalm is a demonstration of praising the Lord. We're in chapter 18. Look at chapter 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. I mean, we just go from one psalm to the other, and David says, I'm going to praise God. And then the next psalm, did he write this immediately after Psalm 18? I don't know. That's where it's placed in the order of the psalms. But right after he talks about praise, he said, the heavens are going to praise God. His work is to be praised. As we look at this great descriptive psalm, His way is perfect. His word is proven. His watch over us is protective. My mind going blank. His warfare is powerful, and His work is to be praised. This is God. And if you're saved, this is your God. This is your Father. And you may not be facing the physical enemy that David faced, but we all got stuff we're facing. We may not pull a sword out of our sheath and wear a buckler. In my case, the buckler would be on this arm because I'm right-handed. And so the buckler on this arm, the sword in this arm, I'm not going to do that because I'm going to stand back with a pistol or something else and shoot from a distance. That's how I'm going to do it. But that's how it would be done in Bible days. But we don't do that. And nor do I stand with a pistol and shoot my enemies unless it was bodily threat of bodily harm for my family. But what I'm saying is we're all facing things. Stuff. Opposition. Troubles. Trials. The same God who delivered David. And right in the middle, David said, well, God, your way is perfect. Your word's proven. Your watch is protective. Your warfare is powerful. I think I'll just praise you. Isn't that a good thing to do? I just think I'll praise Him. Let's pray. Father, we bow in Your presence this morning in prayer after considering this great psalm and thinking of who You are and what You've done. Now, I know we realize as we look at chronology and time, this took place several thousand years ago. It's history. But You haven't changed. And that which You did in David's day, You're capable of doing today. And we can testify to the same care, the same watch, the same word, the same way that David testified. We can say the same thing if we're saved, if we know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, if we've called upon the name of the Lord and asked Jesus to forgive us of our sins and to save us. If we have, we can read and say with David the very same thing. We might not have seen You thundering with hail and fire, but You've done the same thing for us. You've kept us through the storm. You've kept us through the sickness. You've kept us through the death, the sorrow. You've kept us through the discouragement. You've kept us through the rebellion. You've kept us through the brokenness, the hardship, the financial, the social, the domestic, the political, You've kept us through. The spiritual. And You'll continue to do so. Because we belong to You, just as David did. And so, Lord, when it comes to the end of everything, may we say that You're worthy to be praised. And we pray it all in Jesus' name.